Neighbor and say, I love you. Some of you husbands should have already done that today, but if you didn't, I gave you the encouragement. Amen. I don't normally do this, but I want to recognize a friend of mine from school. David Wilson's here this morning, his wife Tori. God bless you guys. Glad to have you. I'll tell you guys a real quick funny. How many want to hear a quick funny?
Yeah.
It involves Daniel.
Yeah.
How many really want to hear it now?
Daniel's
moved into the house. We just moved out of. He moved back into our home, and he wanted to move a cable because I'm kind of OCD and I don't want any cables on the outside of my house. So he had to move go up in the attic, and he was going to move a cable. And Daniel didn't think he needed a ladder, so he used a chair and then put a stool on top of the chair. Smart boy I raised right there. And so he gets up on there. He knew he probably wouldn't have enough strength to pull himself up like a pull-up. But he thought if he jumped, if he jumped, he'd catch himself and then be able to pull himself in once he was already so far in. He said he caught himself, and it was like a second later, plop. Busted three shelves. He has to fix those. This landlord isn't fixing those shelves. He's fixing them on his own. But that's just funny. That's just funny. I mean, you know, you got to pay for stuff like that, but that's just funny. One more thing real quick. We were on our way down the hill this morning. Chris wants to kill a deer so bad. I mean, he wants to kill a deer so bad. Now, honey season's over, but he wants to kill one so bad. This morning, we pull out of the driveway. There is a huge buck. I'm not kidding. That I tried to get a picture of it, but I was stopped. So I'm trying to get a picture, but it ran off. But that buck, my wife pulls up. She says, did you see the buck? I say, I did. So we're coming down the hill on Kelly Ridge Road, and a second buck runs across the road. Bigger than the first buck that we saw. I had to call Chris. Chris, guess what we saw? Guess what we saw? He said, you're killing me, Dad. This is not right. How many are glad today to be born again? Are you really glad to be born again? Aren't you glad to know this morning that you've been redeemed? Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all of your sin. Glory to God. Every fault, every failure, every miserable thing of your past has been removed from your life by the blood of Jesus Christ. Anybody happy about that? How many are glad that Jesus Christ went all the way for you? He went all the way to Calvary so that you and I could have what we know to be an abundant life. Amen. Amen. Now I am starting, and I started last week, and we're going to continue this week, a series for Thanksgiving called The Journey. Called The Journey. Let's get into our text this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now for those of you that were here last week as we started this passage of our text, remember, this is a rule of thumb. You've got to do this every single time that you look at the Old Covenant. By the way, I know I'm going to get in trouble if I don't tell you. If you have the Bible app, if you do use YouVersion, the Bible app is available for you this morning. It's titled The Journey. It has today's date on it in the live events on the Bible app. So you can have all your notes there. There are questions there. And I won't have to do this for very long, but we're just trying to make sure everybody that wants to be on that app, that all your notes for today's message are there and available for you. Every time you look at the Old Scripture, whether you're before the covenant of the Old Testament or you're just in that, you predate the Moses law or you predate it, doesn't matter. Every time you're in the Old Testament, when you read it, you must read it in light of the cross. Everybody say, in light of the cross. In other words, you only view this knowing that everything that needed to be fulfilled has been fulfilled in Christ. Amen. Every time you see the word obey, you need to know that we stand in His obedience, not only our obedience. How many realize that your obedience don't mean anything without God?
Amen.
You can obey the law and dot the I's and cross the T's, but listen to me, unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, it amounts to nothing. I gotta tell you, it's all about the cross. Say that with me, it's all about the cross. So every time you read the Old Testament, always know that it's in light of the cross. In other words, it's in light of what Christ did, period. Always, always, always. Let's read our scripture. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. How many believe that God brought you out to bring you in?
Amen.
Is there something God brought you out of in order to bring you into something better? Amen. The new covenant, the Bible said, is full of better promises. Amen. God brought you out so he could set you up, so he could put you higher, so he can bring you up into the living that God has in mind for you. He says that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations, above the earth, and all of these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that. He said these blessings are just not only going to be on you, but as you're trying to walk, the blessings of the Lord is just going to tackle you. They're going to overtake you. They're going to run you down because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the country. In other words, blessed wherever you're at. Doesn't matter whether you're in Oroville, Palermo, Yuba City, Chico, California, New Zealand. It doesn't matter where you're at. God said, I'm going to bless you no matter where you are. Country, city, does not matter. God says you're going to be blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds. Now, just to make sure I'm in the right place, could anybody here use an increase? I guess some of you don't need it. Would you throw your increase to me? You don't want the increase? I mean, come on. How many would love to live in a little more increase of all that God has? God has an increase in store for you. The increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. I shared this in the first service. I don't go to the store all that often. Once in a while, my wife twists my arm and gets me into Walmart, and I have to pray earnestly while I'm there. But when you go in there, I do like this part of it. And when you get into Walmart, there's a place where you can take a cloth and wipe the cart off. I like that. That's just a godly thing. I like that. But I've always known this when I got a revelation of the scripture that someone that's not serving the Lord, they're not blessed like you and I are blessed that know Jesus Christ. And so they take a hold of that cart, it's cursed. You get a hold of the cart, it's blessed. Man, I lay hands on that cart. I want you to know the Bible said that every step I take, which is ordered of the Lord, is blessed. Wherever I put my foot down, I'm blessed no matter what I do. Whatever I put my hand to, it will prosper. Listen, I've told people that I work with, listen, you want me around. You just put me to work for you. God will bless you. Just being around. Why? Because I know not who I am. I know whose I am. I know who I belong to. I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. Whatever I put my hand on the Walmart cart, it's blessed. It's blessed. He said, whatever I put my hand to, he would prosper it. He's going to bless it. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed you shall be when you go out. The Lord will cause even your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you, before your face. Listen, you need to stop fighting your battles. Let God stand up for you. Amen. You don't need to. You wrestle. I said last week, you need to pick your battles. You need to decide what mountains you're willing to die on. You certainly don't have to die on every hill. Some of you ought to get that. He said he'll defeat them before you and they'll flee seven ways. The Lord will command his blessing on you and your storehouses. How many believe the church is blessed?
Amen.
How many feel like PBFC is blessed?
Amen.
We are blessed at PBFC. God has favored us. God has favored us. I love this. Garrett came up to me. He said, man, this has been a week of favor. I love that. I love that. Man, just come up to you. You want to get me in a good mood? Tell me how God's been good to you all week long. It just, something about that, just I overjoy with that. He says, it's been a week of favor. Man, I love that. And all that which you put your hand to do, he will bless you in the land which the Lord is giving you. Can I hear an amen?
Amen,
amen means so be it. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself because he's the one that makes you holy to begin with. Amen? Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Remember, the new covenant commandments are shorter than the old covenant commandments. There were 10 in the old. There are 2 in the new. The Bible says very easy. Love God, love people. Say that with me. Love God, love people. Listen, you can't get around that. See, yeah, there's some difficult people to love. You need to learn to love them. Amen. I know there's some that really challenge that, but you need to learn to love them because the commandments of God are within him that says to love him with everything and to love people. That's the command of God. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they shall be afraid of you. I shared last week. I'll just share this again. Hopefully I won't do it every single week, but I do want to make sure that we all get it. They're not fearful of us in the idea that they're afraid of us like we're going to hold them up. What they are, though, do you realize we're a threat to what the world wants? Now there's such a political correctness, and I'm not going to make it a political, but there's such a political correctness. You know, you got to say certain things the right way, and if you don't say them, somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. And truth, I just think people need to grow up a little bit. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Not be so sensitive and not wear their feelings out on their sleeves and you know, knock it off. And what, you know, just some of that just, anyway. You know, we're a threat to those secular humanism, to what the school system wants to do. We're a threat to those who are voting toward and trying to support abortion and all of those things. We're a threat to that. And just because, I'll just throw this out, just because they legalize sin doesn't mean we practice it. Amen. There's been other things legal for a long time. Doesn't mean I'm participating in those things that are legal. Amen. God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many agree with me that God does not change? Amen. Amen. You and I, however, are being changed daily. How many are growing in the house? Amen. Are you growing? I'm not just talking about the mamas that are growing with babies. I'm talking about all of us who are growing in the Lord. Are you growing? Yes. Are you maturing in Christ? Are you developing your faith? The Bible says we're being changed from glory to glory and from faith to faith. My faith is growing. Praise the Lord. I'm not who I used to be. How about you? Amen. Amen. We don't lose our tempers near as often as we used to. I'm not having near as much problems with my attitude as I used to. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Amen. Come on, has God been good to you? Is God changing you? He goes on to say, then all the people, they'll be afraid of you, and the Lord will grant to you plenty of goods. Can anybody use a little plenty of goods? Amen. Amen. Boy, you are a weak crowd. Plenty of goods. In the fruit of your body, the increase of your livestock, the produce of your ground, the land of which the Lord will swear to your fathers and give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens. Amen. To give rain to the land in the season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. How many want to be a lender and not a borrower? Amen. Amen. And aren't you tired of paying the interest rate? Wouldn't you like to be the one collecting a little bit instead of the one having to give it out? Amen. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You'll be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, be careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right or the left. In other words, you're not going to be distracted or persuaded. How many know that God wants us to stay on the course that he has set for us? Yeah. Amen. Everybody say, stay there. Not to drift off, be distracted, to be pulled aside. God wants us to be the men and women that he's called us to be. I want to speak today on the journey of trust. Trust. It's a big word. To really trust God. I mean to really trust him. The Bible says to trust the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In every way acknowledge him and he'll direct you. I mean, to really trust him, to have a basis of confidence in God that whatever God has started, he'll finish. That God's bigger than whatever you're going through. Amen. 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 That God knows the beginning from the end from the beginning. Nothing catches him off guard. And that God's really going to take care of matters. How many know what I'm talking about? Trusting God. I mean, really trusting him when things don't look right. Trusting him, yes, when you're on the mountain. How many have been up on top of the mountain and you can trust God? And it's wonderful. It's praise time, glory. We dance on the mountaintop. But trusting him just as equally when we're in the valley. Amen. And trusting him while we're climbing back up to the top. Does anybody know what? In other words, it's the whole process. Amen. For we know all things work together for the good to them who love God. That's the process. And trusting God in the whole process that God knows what he's doing. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. I mean, our eyes are on our Savior. We're not persuaded any other direction but God. My confidence is intact. Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter if the car don't start. Doesn't matter if the spouse said something you don't agree with. See, I don't think it's you. I don't think it's you at all. Doesn't matter if you got fired on your job. Doesn't matter if you're going through a divorce. Doesn't matter if you're facing difficulties you didn't expect. How many have faced the reality of life and it wasn't what you thought it would be? Anybody? How many have found yourself going a direction in life you did not plan? It wasn't what you thought was going to happen, but here you are nonetheless. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, you're going down a road. You didn't pick that road out. And as a matter of fact, you would have had a whole different opinion of it. But nonetheless, here you are. Are you trusting? Are you trusting that God's got this? We'll talk a little bit about Naaman the leper. Naaman the leper. I thought of different individuals I could have used for my sermon subject this morning. I thought about talking about Job, because if anyone understood difficulties, Job did. But Naaman, many times we only remember him for being a leper, and we never do the research of who and what he was prior to leprosy. Naaman was a captain of an army. He led a group of soldiers and won many, many battles. And he knew what it was to be on top of his game. He knew what it was to be a success. And then leprosy hit. Leprosy. Now, in the natural, we're going to talk about it in depth. Probably gross a few of you out. Cool. Wow, okay. In the natural, leprosy has a deteriorating effect to the flesh. In fact, with leprosy, it's a skin disease that attacks all the skin, and eventually it begins to eat away at the person. And leprosy in the natural is what sin is to the spiritual. How many understand that? How many know this, and so we're right on the same page? How many understand that what God did on the inside will begin to manifest itself on the outside? You guys get that? In other words, if you're saved on the inside, it begins to show itself on the outside. You understand that, right? The same is true of what sin does. Sin on the inside will rob the outside. Whatever's on the inside. How many know sin will always take you farther than you ever thought you would go? Sin will make you stay longer than you ever thought you would stay. And sin will always cost you more than you ever expected to pay. That's what sin does. It destroys. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like a cancer from the inside that begins to eat away the inside of a person. And over time, sin will manifest itself on the outside. Well, leprosy is then the exact opposite. It goes from the outside, but it'll eat the person from the outside to the inside. In other words, they begin to feel the effects of what that does. And it will begin to have a deterioration in their thinking. How many live in repentance? Repentance means a changed mind. I don't repent of an individual thing. I live in a changed mind. The Bible said that we're to be renewed by the renewing of our minds, transformed, changed by how we think. I live in repentance. And by the way, that's what God wants you to do. So as we look at leprosy, Naaman is a leper. It's a skin-eating disease that eats away the person. It carries a stigma. Naaman, who was this bigger than life individual leading armies of people into battle and into victory after victory, has now been pushed down to a castaway. Somebody who's an outcast. Somebody's been thrown out. In fact, in the time that leprosy was rampant, they would be pushed out from everybody, pushed aside. They had to be forced to live only among themselves. And if they came in contact from a distance of anybody that did not have leprosy, they had to holler from afar off saying, unclean, unclean, because what they had was contagious. And so it had such a stigma to it. And with leprosy, it was incurable. It was incurable. It became hopeless. I shared in the first service this morning that how many are watching and seeing the homeless situation of Oroville grow? Are you recognizing it? This time of year is really tough. My wife and I it's such a tough time of the year, because you watch people, especially when it's cold and raining, and you see people that are hopeless, that are beat up with life, and you see them just getting by. And you know, and I'm not there with them, but can you imagine how they go to bed at night homeless? When I say go to bed, they don't have a bed, but they go to wherever they're going to sleep through the night and cover themselves up in whatever means that they have, and their life seems hopeless, and they get up to hopelessness in the morning. How many realize we are blessed? We are blessed. We are a very, very blessed people. Can you say amen? Amen. We have roofs over our heads and heat and cold in our homes and showers and clean clothing and all of the things and food in our refrigerator for us for no apparent reason, but we do have some there and we've got it. Whether my wife's going to cook it, that's another story, but we've got it. We do have it. Food in the cupboards and clothes in the closets. How many have a few things you could easily get rid of and not even miss? Yeah. Someone said if you can look in a box and you haven't seen in that box for a year, you might as well get rid of it. You don't need it. Blessed. And you look at the homeless and you look at the hopelessness that is in their lives. They're hopeless. They don't feel like life can ever change for them. This is all they know. They've almost become so accustomed to the hopelessness, they don't get out of that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't know how to pull themselves out of that. And Naaman was in an incurable situation. You and I know that there's a cure to everything. Because with God, all things are possible. Say that with me. All things are possible. Do you believe that today? Then give God a hand clap like you believe it. All things are possible. I don't care what the doctor says. God's bigger than the doctor. Whose report, Isaiah said, will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. I don't care what your checkbook says. God's the greatest provider there ever will be. I don't care what, listen, that doesn't mean I'm insensitive to it. What I'm telling you is God's bigger. God's bigger. But when you're faced with something so devastating, so vast, when what you're going through is bigger than you, does anybody know what I'm talking about? And you think, God, I don't know how. He shows up at Elisha's front door. Now, what had happened is Naaman had heard that there's a chance, Naaman, you could go to the man of God, and the man of God can cure you. And our message to the world is there's hope, isn't there?
That's right.
Our message is the gospel, amen? That the good news can change anybody. How many know what I'm talking about? That God loves everybody. Say amen, church.
Amen.
That God will save anyone. Praise the Lord. That the message is to the least, the lowest, the last, to the best. It doesn't matter who you are. God has made a way for every single person to come to Him. And Naaman had heard, there's a prophet of God. And I'm going to go to where God can touch my life. And he goes to the prophet's front door. He's desperate. There's nowhere else to turn. I love this. Elisha instructs Naaman to go and wash himself in the waters of Jordan 7 times. And the scripture says Naaman got angry. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? He goes to where he believes he's going to get the help that he needs. But when the instruction comes and it's not what he wants to hear, he gets angry. See, you know what I've come to realize over a few years of serving the Lord and knowing the Lord as I have? People want what God has for them, but they don't always want what God wants them to do. There are many people that are willing to receive from the Lord as long as what God gives them, there is no expectation of anything done in return. Am I talking to anybody?
Amen.
Where the instructions of God may be, I want you to do this. Well, I'm not doing that. I want you to give this. I'm not giving that. I want you to serve them. I'm not serving them. I want you to love all people. Not me. When the message may be right, and the messenger may be right, but I'm not doing it that way. See, society is pushing us to a have-your-own-way society, where if it's exactly what you want, how it's detailed to you, well, I'm glad to have that, but I'm not willing to go it the way God requires me to go it. I'm not going down to the muddy rivers of Jordan. I'm not doing that. Well, then fine, how's the leprosy? You know, it's like not stepping on any toes on purpose, but I may step on a few. It's like Sunday morning again. Didn't we just have Sunday yesterday? What do you mean, church? Well, you got to have a teachable spirit. Amen. You know, I it'd be good, you know, but if you just teach me something, I just, you know, if that pastor could just finally hear from the Lord, that'd be wonderful. If he just got one message, he could just knock it out of the park just one time. You know, if Daniel could just hit the notes a little better, and if we could just get the right songs, if they would just do it the way I want it to be done, I can't be happy if they sing that same song. I want a different song, and I want it to be the song that I want, and they got to do it at the right time. I knew I wouldn't get anything out of church today. So, man, it was the same as last week. I didn't get anything last week, and I'm not getting anything this week. And you know what? If you come with that expectation, guess what? You'll leave every single week not getting anything from God because that's what you came expecting. Amen. How many know that the atmosphere of expectation is the breeding ground for miracles? If you will come to God's house with an attitude and expectation that God's going to show up in your life for today and touch you with instruction and encouragement, then you will leave instructed and encouraged. But if you come expecting nothing, guess what? You will not be disappointed. You'll have exactly what you believe for and what you trust God to do. You have to have an attitude that, God, whatever you have for me, I'm going to receive it today. You got to purpose yourself. How many come to God with purpose? Listen, everything I do for the Lord, I do with purpose, on purpose. I have intention. Every time I come into the house of the Lord, I come with an expectation that God's going to move, and I'm going to be a part of that move. I'm going to feel His presence, and I'm going to walk in His presence, and I'm going to live in His presence, and I'm going to experience all that He has for me because I have an expectation that God's going to do it. Not the Jordan River. I don't want to do it that way. I don't want to do it. That's not what I have in mind. Have you ever felt the injustices of life? How many have ever, maybe, I don't need a show of hands. The first service really got this, so maybe you will. I don't know. You ever looked at somebody else and thought, that's just not right. It's not fair. They don't work nearly as hard as I do. How come they've got this and I don't? Why are they so, they just seem to bounce through life with no problems? Man, would you just look at that, Pastor? He is so blessed. How come he's so blessed? Well, you have no idea what it took to get where I'm at today. You have no idea what it took to get here. You see where I'm at, but you don't know the journey of trust to get me to the place I'm at. You haven't walked in my shoes. I haven't walked in yours. You have no idea what it took to get me where I'm at. It's easy to look at a life that you have no knowledge about and think, well, that looks easy. I have people, it cracks me up. I've told my boys this, and in fact, some things, you know, they quoted me yesterday. I had a wedding I had to do yesterday. They were quoting the wedding ceremony. I mean, they knew it word for word. They knew exactly what I say. I mean, they've got me down perfect. But they'll tell me, they'll say certain things. They've got the messages down. They've got the words down. And people will say to me, they'll say, hey, so you're a preacher, right? Yep, I'm a preacher. Any money in that? Cracks me up. I'm like, if there is, are you going to do it? What do you think? This is just something you're all, I think I'll be a preacher today, you know. People are funny. People are funny. People have an idea of what other people are. They have no clue. I mean, I only work 2 days a week. Two services Sunday morning. I'm done, you know, it's afternoon. I'm overtime right now. You know, and I'm off till Wednesday. Teach a little bit Wednesday night, about an hour. And then I'm off until Sunday. It's a great life. And I'm paid $20,000 a day. People have their own ideas of things they don't know. And many times that's what we do. Look at other people's lives and we begin to have the injustices. Why me, God? Why here? Why now? Why this? Why am I going through this? It seems like nobody else is going through it. You know, and for one of the things, I'm just going to just drop this. I didn't drop it the first one, but I'll drop it to you guys because I think it's important. You need to stop having a victim mentality and rise above it and be a victor. Amen. Amen. God did not call you, any one of us, to be a victim. God's called you to be a victor. Amen. You've been called to live in victory, church, not to live in defeat. God's called you to be above and not below. You've been called to be the top, not the bottom. The head, not the tail. Amen. You've got to journey through this life with a trust that God has got you. Have you ever struggled to understand the whys? How many of you have ever been here? Lord, I believe, but would you please help my unbelief? Amen. I have faith, God, but not for this. I mean, if we're just being real. Amen. When you face cancer and you have faith. When you face difficulties and you have faith. And I'm not talking about turning to God just to get you out of a situation, but I'm talking about turning to God so you can live for Him. Where it becomes a lifetime decision on your life where you said, no, this is the way it's going to be from now on. Because I've made up my mind. Amen?
Amen.
Why the Jordan River? Why the Jordan River? Why the Jordan River? If you read the scripture and the story of Naaman, it says there that Naaman said, there are all these other well-watered places. There are so many places you could send me. If you don't mind, I would gladly take that wonderful crystal clear creek over there, and I'll be happy to go there. But the Jordan? There? There? Palermo? Really? Really? Are you kidding? Really? There? Huh? What about those well-watered places that I could just go to? How about send me there, God? Don't make it inconvenient for me. Don't make me get down in the mud. Don't make me get down in the dirty. I want the easy Christianity. I want that easy. You know that place where we just kind of float? That place where there's no struggle of faith. That place where it's like just picking the money off the money tree. You just, every time you need a $20 bill, just walk up to that money tree. And by the way, Chris and Daniel, I'm not it. It was so funny. Chris sent me a video on Facebook. Hilarious. I loved it, by the way. Hilarious. He sends me a video on Facebook, and it's Donald Trump. And he's explaining to this kid about how rough life was for him. He said, I want you to know, he said, it wasn't easy for me growing up. He says, my dad only loaned me $1 million. That's all. One time, $1 million. That's all he gave me. One time. He gave me a measly $1 million. Just once. One time, a measly $1 million. And Chris has an inscription. Can I borrow any money, Dad? You know, we have our own ideas of what we think God ought to be doing in our life. And if it doesn't measure up to what we think it ought to be, we're immediately ready to resist against the very thing that God's trying to take us to. Sometimes we resist the plan of God because the plan of God doesn't seem fair. Why me? Why now? Why here? Why should I be facing this when in reality, sometimes we got ourselves into it to begin with, and God's just there to help us get through it. It's a fact. It's a fact. And the reality is God knows everything. There's nothing too hard for God. And if God says to dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River so you can come up clean, then get yourself down to the Jordan River and dip at the word of the Lord so that you can receive what God has. Even if it doesn't line up with your thinking or your theology or your plans or your agenda or what you think God's doing in your life. Because I've got news for you. Just when you think you get Him figured out, He's going to change your circumstances. Because God wants you to trust Him. Amen. Amen. And He wants you to trust Him always in everything. Whether you like it or not, God wants you to trust. And then you could see that Naaman would say, isn't it just humiliating enough that I have leprosy? It's bad enough that I've been rejected, that I've been a cast out. It's bad enough that I'm covered in this. You know, I had a pinky yesterday on my finger, but when I woke up this morning, the pinky had fallen off. It's bad enough when you see your life being deteriorated from the outside in. And you feel like it's going nowhere, and now you want me to parade myself in front of everybody? Disgusted with this disease? Isn't it humiliating enough? You think of the heart of Naaman and how he's feeling. And yet if we would follow the story, Naaman responded to Elisha. He obeyed him to the letter. Is anybody here ready just to do whatever God says? Come on, is anybody in the house really ready to do whatever God says? I mean, if this is the word of the Lord, and if this is the message from God, if this is what the Lord is saying, whatever it is, God, I'll love whoever you say to love. I'll serve whoever you say to serve. I'll give whatever you tell me to give. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll accomplish whatever you want me to do. Whatever it is, God, if it's the Jordan River, I'm going. Because I'm going to do whatever God wants. Because more than anything, I want to be clean. Want to be clean. And he went down and he dipped himself. And you know, I look at the word and I watch it and I like it. It's like a rolling movie for me. I see it in a visual sense. I don't know if you can see it with me, but I can see Naaman going down and he dips himself. And he comes up probably on the first time thinking he should be clean, but he's not. And I'm convinced, and I'm sure you are too, if he'd have came up clean on the first dip, he'd have stopped dipping. Don't you think? But he went down the second time. And I could even see him being frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated doing the things that God told you to do? See, the first crowd really got that one. They understood. But he dipped the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. But then when he came, the seventh time, he came up and his skin was clean. He was completely clean. Daniel, make your way if you would. He came up the seventh time and he was fully clean. The seventh time. I don't know about you, I'm going all the way. How about you? I'm going. How many have made up your mind? I'm going all the way. I am going all the way. Whatever God says, I'm doing it. Whatever God wants, I'm doing it. How many will be that man? How many will be that woman? Whatever the Lord is requiring of me, I'm going to do it. It may be challenging, but I've said yes, Lord. How many have said yes, Lord? I've said yes. I've said yes. Naaman went. He followed the word of Elisha. And he received his healing. He received his miracle. He was willing to trust God when things didn't make sense. What's the message? This is the message today is very clear. It's so simple. Trusting God is not about what's in your bank account. It's not where you live and what you drive. Trusting God is a matter of the heart. Amen. I could tell everyone, I could say, have faith in God. I could say to everyone, have faith in God. And that sounds wonderful, and you should. But it becomes something very personal for every one of you. Every one of you have to make a decision. You know what? I'm going to trust my way through this. I'm going to be one of those fanatical believers that are just going to throw caution to the wind. And if God speaks to me and says, do it. You know, I'm just going to throw this out here. It's really funny to me. Some of you are in the process. You've come to the Lord and you're learning with what God has. I get a kick out of people that says, you tithe? You mean you give 10% to God? Do you know how stupid that is? And then I think about people before they come to Christ and they blow their money on everything ungodly. I mean, they drink it, they do, I mean, they just throw it to everything under the sun. They don't have any problem with that. But the idea of giving 10% and keeping 90 just makes people, boy, just got really quiet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know why? Because that's God's way, not man's way. See, the Jordan River was God's way, not man's way. It was doing something that didn't make sense. See, and God is always pushing us, nudging us. Praise the Lord for the nudges of God. Don't you love the nudging of the Lord? That moves us toward the victories He has for us in our life. See, it never has made sense how you can give your way out of poverty. Right? how you give your way. Here's what the scripture says. Give and it will be given you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, the whole reason that God sent you a comforter so that you could be comforted, so you could learn to comfort. The whole reason that God gave His mercy to you is so that you could become merciful. Everything God has given to you has been given to you to get through you. So that what you have received, you now become a distributor of. You give it out. Stand with me. Go ahead, Daniel. No one bowing yet. We're just going to just ask you a simple question. Just be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. How many felt like the Holy Spirit just nudged you a little bit to trust Him? How many felt like God was speaking to you about to learn to trust God a little bit more? Is this you this morning? Is God speaking to you this morning? Amen. I believe that God is trying to grow you. I believe that God is trying to teach you. Come on, I believe He's bringing us into this place. How many feel that this morning? God's trying to, glory to God, where you've never been before in your walk with God, so that you can accomplish with God more than you ever dreamed possible. God's got great plans for you, church. God's got great designs on your life, plans to increase you, plans to use you. God's looking for you to surrender everything. You can bow your heads with me for a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for PBFC. Thank you for the call of God you've placed on us to be your people, to be sons and daughters, joint heirs with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us, God. We do feel and sense your blessings. We sense your presence this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for abiding in us. Thank you, God, for depositing your Spirit in us as a down payment of greater things that were to come. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are and what you do and all that you've done. Thank you, Jesus. We're about ready to close this service in prayer, and maybe you've come. And maybe today you're there, and even those who are listening to this message on the internet, some who might be watching on Periscope, and you maybe just happened onto the website, or maybe you just showed up today, and you've not yet made a decision for Jesus Christ. You say, what do you mean? I'm a good person. Well, it's not about being good, it's about being born again. It's about inviting Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior. He is Lord and He is Savior, but He wants to make it personal. And He wants you to make a decision right where you're at. You may be driving in your vehicle right now listening to this message. You may be on your job. You may be at home. It doesn't really matter where it is. But we're going to pray a prayer in a moment, and you can pray a simple prayer with us and make a decision right where you're at to invite Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You say, what does that mean? It means that God will come into your life, that everything you've ever done and anything you could ever do will be covered under His sacrifice. That you'll be fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ that will cleanse you of all sin and all unrighteousness. You see, my friend, the scripture says, He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I can be made righteous, to be set right with God, not by something we've done, but by something we believed in, by something He did on our behalf. You might say, Pastor, I'm a believer, but to be honest, I've been a wanderer. I haven't really been serving God. I've been real neglectful. I've just really walked away, and I would like to just change that this morning. Well, I want you, as we pray, why don't you just make a dedication to the Lord right where you're at? You on the internet, come on, this is for you as well. I don't believe it's happened chance. I believe God directed you to our page, to our website, to this message. I believe it's not coincidental. I believe that God has used this ministry to reach out to you. I pray that you will just make that dedication right where you're at and receive Christ. Congregation, if you're ready, then pray with me. And if you'd like to pray this with us, we invite you to do so. There's something about when we do this every single week, we believe that lives are changed, lives are transformed. God saves every individual that calls on Him. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm inviting you to call on Him today in this prayer. Pray with me, church. Heavenly Father, today, right now, right here, I invite you, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all sin, all my faults, all my failures, all my past, my present and future. I'm covered in your blood. My name is written in glory. My life is in you as you are in me. I rededicate my life. Change me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, bless this house. Every single individual, bless them, God. Touch every single person here, God. Do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Give God a hand clap of praise. If you'd like special prayer this morning, I would love to meet with you and pray with you. Make your way up here. I'd be glad to pray.